Thanks for downloading and listening to Disciples View podcast. We have a lot in common. All of us want to retire one day, and the stock market might be near all-time highs, but you know what history shows us? Stock markets don't always see risk coming. So whether it's geopolitical tensions or energy disruptions, inflation or rising government debt, the real threats to our retirement plans often come from the one advisors don't see. So wouldn't it be smart to get a second opinion? You can with Bulwark Capital's free Know Your Risk Portfolio Review. Zach Abraham, the chief investment officer there, is a dear friend of mine. I speak with him regularly. He handles my money, my wife and I's, and he manages based upon risk management. They're always looking for ways to reduce our risk, always looking for ways to increase our upside, and always doing this in a way that, again, all about risk. If you're 5 or 10 or 15 years from retirement, you can't afford a risky portfolio. So sign up for Zach's free, no obligation portfolio review. Just go to knowyourriskpodcast.com. K-N-O-W, knowyourriskpodcast.com, or there's a link here in the show notes, knowyourriskpodcast.com. Investment advisory services offered through Trek Financial LLC and SEC registered investment advisor. Investments involve risk and are not guaranteed. Past performance isn't guaranteed future results. Trek 26-112. God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley, and he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
Well, good afternoon, America. Alex McFarland here sitting in for Todd Herman. Very honored to do that, looking at the issues of the day from a biblical perspective. You know, the Holy Word of God says in Psalm 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And with that sentiment in our hearts, I am so honored to bring on a guest right now, and I'm cutting straight to it, dispensing with like an opening monologue or anything, because I'm very honored that we have with us right now for the first half of this show today. In my opinion, one of the preeminent thinkers of our time. You know, we're very blessed to live in the era of some people like Chuck Colson and William F. Buckley Jr. And those men have gone on, but God has raised up others, one of whom is with me today. I read everything this man writes. I take great stock in whatever commentary and analysis he gives. His name is Eric Metaxas. He's a best-selling author. Right now, his book, Revolution, The Birth of the Greatest Nation in the History of the World. And I like that title, although I would say it's an understatement. The Greatest Nation in the History of the World, The Revolution. And the author of that book is our guest right now. His name is Eric Metaxas. Eric, welcome to the American Family Radio Network.
Well, listen, it is my honor to be on with you. I get to talk about, you know, The subject is so important, and we get to say we're Americans, that we live in America. So this is a time genuinely to celebrate what America is, to understand what America is. It's an extraordinary thing. I mean, I remember the bicentennial.
I do, too.
And so to think that it's the 250th right now, this is a huge, huge moment. I think we'll remember it for the rest of our lives. I certainly will.
Indeed. And there's so much that I want to ask you. Our time is limited. So, folks, I implore you, go to this man's website, follow him on social media, and then we're going to dive into the questions. Eric, what is your website?
Well, it's just my name, if you can spell Metaxas. It's ericmetaxas.com. And, you know, you can order the book from Amazon. That's probably the quickest thing. But honestly, I think I was telling you off the air, the book was number 3 on the New York Times bestseller list this week. That is amazing because, you know, you're competing with, how do I put it? There are folks out there whose books are being pushed like crazy by the mainstream. Jill Biden's book, the New York Times authors have a book bashing President Trump. So the fact that my book is able to do that well, I just praise God, because to my book celebrates America. You know, mm-hmm. it's just the story of what happened 250 years ago. It's just the story of the American Revolution. But when you tell the story as it happened, it is a celebration. It's a story of just almost unbelievable characters. They were mm-hmm. real characters, and most of them loved the Lord and did what they were doing for him. And that's the piece that the secular media, they don't go near that. They can't understand that. They're baffled by it. But that is true. And so I tell that story in my book. Again, the title is Revolution, because I say it's the only revolution in the history of the world that ever succeeded. The French Revolution is a joke. They kicked God out, and it turned into a bloodbath. And they, you know, they traded a king for an emperor dictator named Napoleon. Our revolution is the only true revolution. We need to know that. We need to understand God was at the center of it. I'm not just saying that because I'm a Christian. That's historical fact, and it's in my book. Every American needs to know that. Whether you like it or not, it is historical fact.
What role did divine intervention play in the revolution, Eric? In your opinion, going from colonists to citizens, going from colonies to a republic, to what degree did God's sovereign hand work in that, in your opinion?
Well, I mean, it's interesting, Alex, because sometimes the Lord sort of shows his hand in a way that you say, wow, that was a miracle. But then you also have to see that the whole revolution was miraculous. In other words, everything that happened could not have happened without God. So some of that looks like a miracle, like when this fog descends over the East River following the Battle of Brooklyn, and Washington and his army are able to miraculously escape. You see that, and you say that was a miracle. But the whole thing was impossible without the Lord. And I don't just say that again because I'm a Christian. I'm saying as a person who has studied history, you realize that the men of the revolution understood what they were doing was God's idea. They would see it as an extension of the Protestant Reformation, right? The Protestant Reformation enables people to read the Bible for themselves, to worship God in a different way. So, of course, so many of them decided to leave England and to leave Europe and to go to a land where they could actually do that. And so they were doing that for 150 years. Then the British, you know, in a sense, try to take that back. It causes this conflict. And they realized, the men of the revolution understood, what we're trying to do has never been done before, that we're going to create a nation where we're going to look directly to God, like the Sinai Covenant. We're coming out of Egypt, out from under Pharaoh. They all understood this is the narrative. This is the imagery that even Franklin and Thomas Jefferson saw this as. This is the imagery. We're coming out from Egypt, out from under Pharaoh, and we're going to be in the wilderness looking directly to the Lord. That's the narrative that everybody in the revolution understood. This is what we're doing. What we're doing is God's project. They called it the sacred cause. And they said over and over and over, without God, we cannot succeed. George Washington had a covenantal view. People don't think of George Washington that way. He absolutely had a covenantal view that we have to honor God in how we fight, in how we behave, because we want God to honor us. That's not a deist. That is a profound Reformation Christian. And so, again, I put all this in my book because I said Americans need to know the true history. A lot of it has been scrubbed away by secularists. If you watch the Ken Burns PBS documentary, 12 Hours, which I do not recommend, but right, you'll see that they have completely avoided all of this stuff. It's like it never happened. It's like Washington was a deist. They even say it. Complete nonsense. Absolute nonsense. We need to know the truth, and, you know, that's why I wrote my book titled Revolution.
Amen. You know, Eric, I'm sure you're familiar with the book, and I don't like it. It's not a good history, but Howard Zinn wrote A People's History of the... It's a horrible book. I was at a major Christian university on the East Coast, and I was speaking, and I couldn't believe in the history class they were using for their text the Howard Zinn book.
Will you tell us the name of the university?
Do you know? I'll tell you off air. How about that? Because I don't want to slam it. It wasn't Liberty. It was not Liberty. I promise. But
I'm sure they wouldn't do that at Liberty. I'd like to know what so-called Christian. Honestly, there's a lot of bad stuff out there. Howard Zinn is about the worst. So I mean, most of the stuff that's out there is not so great. But the Howard Zinn, that's the top of the list of bad. So that's actually shocking to hear that. But people need to be aware. The mainstream media and a lot of mainstream outlets and a lot of decent books, they just avoid this side of the story. And when I did my research for the book I'm talking about, Revolution, I was blown away. No matter where you look, it is Christian. No matter where you look, I said, this is a scandal that Americans don't know this.
Yeah, I know. And one of the things, by the way, if you're just tuning in, Alex McFarland here, we're talking with best-selling author Eric Metaxas. His brand new book, which I highly recommend, Revolution, The Birth of the Greatest Nation in the History of the World. It's a best-selling book even right now. You know, Eric, earlier this morning, I give God the glory, but I was staring at about, I think, 125 copies that our ministry chose to buy that we are giving to pastors. And I just want to say thank you for reminding the body of Christ and citizens everywhere for some vital history that most of us had not previously known.
Well, and that's, first of all, thank you. But I want to say over and over, we have to get away from this idea that, oh, this is the Christian version. This is the true version. We almost denigrate ourselves by saying, well, this is the Christian version. No. The true version is all about Christian faith. The true version is all about God's hand. This is not just what some Christians want to think. This is what is true. And by the way, it's what all of the founders understood. Even if you don't have this point of view yourself, you say, well, I wonder what the founders thought. This is their view. They were doing a Christian thing in bringing America into being. We need to understand that this is not just something we tell ourselves, that, oh, Christianity is compatible with America. No, there's no America without the God of Scripture, without the Scripture. You don't get this idea that we're made in God's image. Or I'm sorry, you don't get the idea that we're equal, that we're created equal, unless you get it from the Bible. Where else would you get that idea except from the Bible? That's where they all got it. They didn't get it from Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson got it from the Bible. And we've just got to teach that. It's because it's true.
And I believe, and I'm sure you would concur, God raised up America and God has blessed America. For one, because he's a good God and he's a God of such bounty and blessing. But America has been, and this is, I think this was God's intent, that we would be a major, major participant in Christ's Great Commission.
Again, there's no doubt about it. There's absolutely no doubt about it. And I don't go into that part too much in the book, but it is absolutely undeniable, Alex. And then that's why I said, you know, as I was writing the book, it just came out more and more and more. And I thought, how is it that Americans don't know this? Again, this is not history for Christians. This is history. This is American history. We need to know our history, and we cannot be who we're supposed to be as a nation unless we understand this stuff. So I think that, you know, the 250th year, this is our moment, really. I joke around with my friends. I say, this is mandatory beach reading, folks. And, you know, I most of my books are very readable. This is not like a struggle. But I say, it is mandatory beach reading. You need, we cannot be who we're meant to be as a nation unless we know this stuff. This is not, you know, for history buffs. This is for Americans. Every American needs to know our history. Now, written in a way, everybody I talk to say it's extremely readable. It's a page turner. You know, I want it to be fun to read, but I think like we are responsible for this information. This is going to be on the test. This is not, you know, just for some people who are history buffs. This is every American used to know this. And that's, you know, a big part of my message. Every American used to know this as we have drifted away from knowing this. And as these lies, you mentioned Howard Zinn, as this stuff comes out, we drift farther and farther, you know, and if you want to know why we've lost our liberties or why things are suddenly difficult, it's because we, most Americans, have forgotten this, or, you know, we're going to schools where they're not teaching this. This is a very serious issue.
Eric, is the ability to vote, is that a stewardship issue? Is getting up, making the effort, going to the poll, casting a vote for a believer, would you say that's a stewardship issue?
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Yeah, I mean, listen, if you do not do that, people will suffer. I mean, that's and that's basically what has been happening, right? We're living in a country where all kinds of Christians don't vote, and then, you know, bad people get in, and people suffer. And we're responsible because we had an opportunity to do something. We said, oh, it's not my business. It is your business, and that's good theology. You know, there's a lot of bad theology out there that makes it seem like, well, it doesn't really matter. Yes, it does matter. It matters to the Lord.
Hey, we've got a break. Eric Metaxas, speaking of beach reading, he's coming to the beach, Myrtle Beach, August 8th. He'll be with us in our speaker series, Conversations That Matter. We want you to be there. You can see in person Eric Metaxas, August 8th. Full info is at my website, alexmcfarland.com. Hey, we've got a brief break. We're going to talk further with Eric Metaxas, 7-time New York Times bestselling author. The brand new book that he wrote, Revolution, The Birth of the Greatest Nation in the History of the World. The American Family Radio Network is back after this brief break. Do not go away. Welcome back to the program. Do you know there are 32.8 million books for sale on Amazon right now? And the number 6 book out of 32 million is Eric Metaxas' brand new book, Revolution, The Greatest Nation in the History of the World. 5-star reviews. Rare to see that. He's our guest right now. By the way, congratulations on another bestseller, my friend.
Well, thank you. I have to say this was maybe the toughest book I ever wrote, because, you know, you're writing about something, it's an epic story, right? It's something, you know, it takes place. I was going to start it, you know, at Lexington and Concord. I said, this is a book about the revolution, but it doesn't just start at Lexington and Concord. It starts 10 years before, 12 years before, when the British win the French and Indian War. They double their empire, they double their national debt, and they say, well, now we got to tax the colonies. And that's the whole thing starts. And that's in some ways the most fascinating part of it. So that's in my book, but it's a big book. It's 600 pages. It's, you know, there's so many characters, Alex, that you fall in love with these. These are men of God. Patrick Henry, Henry Knox, George Washington, John Adams. I mean, the more I discovered, the more excited I got. The book could have been 1200 pages, but I whittled it down to a slim 600 pages, but the fact that it's, you know, at the top of the bestseller list, I mean, I praise God because I have a burden to get this message out to Americans. And when I say Americans, I mean all Americans. This is something that it's true, whether you're a Christian or conservative or not, this is our history and people need to know this. So, you know, mostly it's going to be Christian conservatives as we are, who are interested, but everybody needs to know this is how our nation began. This is what liberty is. It comes from the Bible. These ideas come from the scripture, and the men of the revolution, they knew this. This is not, you know, sorta. There's no sorta. This is just absolutely how America came into being.
Eric, and the book is fantastic, folks. And I only recommend books that I myself have bought and read. You got to read this, folks. But let me ask you this with a couple of minutes that we've got left. Eric, we're, much to my surprise and chagrin, we're witnessing a rise of socialism in America. Also, we're witnessing the rise of Islam in America. And more Muslims are winning offices. More and more avowed socialists are winning offices. How concerned are you about the potential directions this country could take? And secondarily, how important is it for patriots, constitutionalists, how important is it that we vote in the midterms this fall?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'll tell you, it wouldn't surprise you to hear me say that's why I wrote the book, right? Because I said I've seen the nation lose touch with who we are, with our biblical roots. You cannot have liberty. You cannot have freedom unless you understand these ideas come from the Bible and the men who brought them into being, it brought our nation into being, understood these ideas come from the Bible. And so as you drift away from that, you open the door to all of this madness, basically. The Marxism and the so-called social Democrats, there's no possibility of them succeeding if people know our history. But so many people, especially young people, have forgotten our history. So it is really vital that we understand this. And you better believe that it's important that we vote. I mean, if people don't vote in the midterms, don't complain when everything falls apart and you lose your rights, because that's what happens when good people don't vote. And it's been happening. So it's the midterms are, this is going to be a test of the nation, a test of the American church, honestly.
Folks, Eric Metaxas will be our keynote speaker August 8th, Conversations That Matter. That's our lecture series. Eric, we were due to have Charlie Kirk come back. Charlie spoke for us last year, and Charlie Kirk texted me the day after he spoke for us, and he said, hey, great event, let's do it again next year, and we were. So you're going to be at the one-year anniversary of when Charlie spoke for us. It will be you, Eric. I got to ask you this: what do you see culturally, politically, even spiritually, in the aftermath of Charlie's death last fall? Where are we as a country, Eric?
Well, I think the tremendous evangelism has happened since the death of Charlie. He was a martyr, and so what happened was tons of people came to faith in Jesus as a result of his being murdered that way. But when people come to faith, the enemy gets upset. And so we've seen a lot of demonic stuff. There are a couple of podcasters, I won't even mention their names, who they're demonic. And they hate what God is doing, and they have just been sucked into an ugly narrative. They are basically anti-American. They hate President Trump. They've turned on President Trump. I mean, it has no explanation except a spiritual explanation. So I really think that we're in the middle of revival in America. Things are happening. The mainstream media cannot report on it. They won't report on it. They hate it. So I think we just have to keep praising God and keep sharing the truth aggressively and lovingly. And that's the path forward, and that the Lord will bless our efforts.
Amen. Amen. Hey, alexmcfarland.com, complete information how you can hear Eric Metaxas in person. Folks, I cannot overstate how important it is that you come out and hear this voice God has raised up, Eric Metaxas. He wrote Revolution, the Birth of the Greatest Nation in the World. It's a bestseller. I urge you to read this book. I know you got to go. I want to say thank you for your time today, Eric, and any final challenge for us?
Well, I always joke around. I don't know if I said it to you. I said my book is mandatory beach reading. Mandatory. You got to do it. You got to know your history. This is the 250th. Like, this is the moment that we have to go back to the beginning. We have to get serious about, do we understand what God has given us? The gift of liberty. Can we keep the republic? I believe we will, but we've got to get serious. So I just want to say to my brothers and sisters out there, this is the time. We've got to get serious. So, God bless America, and God bless you, Alex. Thanks for having me on again.
Well, thank you, and we look forward to hearing from you on August 8th. Folks, this is Alex McFarland on the American Family Radio Network and the Todd Herman Show. I'm very honored to sit in for Todd. And if you recognize my voice, it might be from a live show that we do Monday through Friday called Exploring the Word. That's heard 3 to 4 Central Time, 4 to 5 East Coast Time, and in the time zone of your choice. And on Exploring the Word, Bert Harper and I, for 15 plus years, almost 16 years, we've been teaching through the Word of God. And so we invite you to tune in, and you can listen to past shows at afr.net. Well, we're going to change gears here, and we've got with us also Darren Kinder. Darren, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am, Alex. Good to hear from you.
Hey, good to hear from you. Thanks for holding. And listen, you've been on with us in times past. I appreciate that. We're coming up on the 25th kind of hate to say anniversary, because an anniversary is something like you celebrate, I would say commemoration of 9/11. 9/11, it's just uncanny. I was watching in the news how there's a building in Manhattan that they're worried is going to fall, a skyscraper that has a lot of construction issues. And it just reminds me, I was at Ground Zero about 30 hours after 9/11 happened. I was up there for 2 weeks with the Billy Graham Ministry. And but you survived 9/11, didn't you, Darren?
I did. I was there that fateful day. Alex, I share your thoughts. I can't believe it's been 25 years. But yes, I was there as part of a Secret Service group. I was a young Secret Service agent at the time. I have since retired. But I was there that day because our office was in the complex.
And by the way, the website, darrenkinder.com, D-A-R-I-N, darrenkinder.com. You've had a really interesting career, and God is using you in a great way as a speaker, as an author. Darren, you wrote a book titled Bury Me in a Dirty Suit. Now, that's an interesting title. Tell us the title, the book, what is that about?
Right. The book is two parts. It's my firsthand account of, you know, being there at the site during the attack on the streets and in the towers and the stairwells, that kind of thing. But also the main part of the book is that experience is used as an illustration to call people to live out God's will for their life, to boldly and courageously move forward. That each you and I and each and every one of us was designed uniquely, specifically with different skills, talents, and abilities for His glory. And so what does that look like for each one of us? And so the book is about discerning that and then spending the rest of your days getting after it. And so I use that metaphor, bury me in a dirty suit, because at the end of the day, I was with three other Secret Service agents. And we were, Alex, you can imagine, we were beaten and bloodied and tattered. We had been fighting fires and helping people evacuate and carrying victims and so forth. And I finally rendezvoused with another large group of people that I worked with. This was at the very end of the day. And, you know, most of the people looked like we did. The four of us walked in and they were beaten and bloodied and haggard. But, there was another group of people that I saw that were in clean suits. You know, I like to say that courage is a choice. Being a citizen is a choice. And some of those people had made a choice, and they chose not to enter it. You know, they chose not to enter into the problem, into the pain, into the suffering. And I take that illustration, not to beat anyone over the head with it, but I use that illustration now as it just reckons back to the promise I made to God on the next day, on September 12th, that I realized I should have been taken out of this world, that I should not have been there. At least three times I should have died. And I was going to spend the rest of my days getting my suit dirty for the name of Jesus. I could not get, Amen. Alex, I just couldn't get that illustration, that image out of my head. There were clean suits and there were dirty suits. Yeah. And as I closed that prayer, I said, Lord, when I punch out of this world and into the next, I want to be buried in a dirty suit. And there it was.
Amen. Amen. And by the way, folks, the voice you're hearing is Darren Kinder, a 9/11 survivor, an author, an amazing speaker. And, you know, I want to do a little bit of a deep dive and talk about the aftermath of 9/11, because I was there. I got there. I had been on the Billy Graham radio show, Great Evangelist Billy Graham. I was on his radio show, and 9/11 happened a couple of weeks after that, and they called me like the morning of 9/11. They said, hey, we're going to New York City to minister to people. Can you go with us? And I was on a bus to New York City. I remember, and I want to talk about that. But first, I was just thinking. So, were you like in one of the trade towers when the plane hit?
I was in 7 World Trades. I was right across the street from the north side of the North Tower when it got hit. And so, after we evacuated, just a few minutes later, I was out in the open on the street near the base of Tower 2 when that second plane came in. So that one screeched right over my head and impacted right above me.
What was the noise of that impact? Can you describe that for us?
You know, it's funny, Alex. People still can't believe that you know, that second plane came in a lot lower than the first, and that's why that tower collapsed first. And I never saw the plane or heard the plane, even though it was, gosh, it was, I'm 100 yards from that tower, less than a football field probably. So I had tunnel vision on this woman. I was fixing her arm. I was rendering basic first aid to her burned arm. And then, so I didn't hear the plane, but man, the explosion was just, the explosion knocked me to my knees. That's how close I was. And at that point, I didn't know what it was. I knew we were under attack. It would take hours for me to put all the pieces together. But at that point, we just all scattered, and it ended up, me and two other agents ended up deciding to go into the North Tower and help people evacuate.
Yeah, it was just surreal. And I'm sure everybody listening, you probably could remember watching that news coverage. And, you know, the first plane had hit, and we learned that the Pentagon had been hit. And then, of course, the plane that went down outside of Somerset, Pennsylvania. It wasn't a war like a conventional war, and yet it was an act. Those were acts of war, really. The jihadist versus the great Satan, America.
Right.
Darren, in your opinion, does that war still go on?
I think so. I think there's a spiritual component to it for sure. You know, we went to the global war on terror was born, at least overtly, was born after 9/11. And we went to war in, you know, places like Afghanistan and Iraq and Syria and Libya and so forth for 20 plus years. And I think we can look back now and with an objective eye and say, yeah, some of that was probably ill-conceived as far as having exit strategies and end goals in sight. But at the time, we had no choice. We had to take out the base, Al-Qaeda, the base. We had to take out their home soil so that they could not, you know, launch and plan further attacks on our nation. So I understand that and 100% support of that. Is it still going on today? Yes. As long as evil still exists, as long as sin still exists, as long as, I believe there's a spiritual struggle for sure. We do not necessarily fight against the flesh and blood, but against principalities and the prince of darkness over this present time. So that struggle is going on. I think the blinders are returning, unfortunately. I would hate for us to be hit again, for us to wake up, but the blinders are returning, much like they were on September 10th, 2001. But the struggle remains.
Indeed. Hey, we've got to take a brief break. Alex McFarlane here with my guest, Darren Kinder. Bury Me in a Dirty Suit, Discovering Man's Valiant Purpose in the Aftermath of 9/11. Darren Kinder is a 9/11 World Trade Center survivor. So we've got a break. We're going to come back. Stay tuned. Much more to come on this edition of the Todd Herman Show. Alex McFarlane sitting in for Todd Herman.
Thanks for downloading and listening to Disciples View podcast. We have a lot in common. All of us want to retire one day, and the stock market might be near all-time highs, but you know what? History shows us stock markets don't always see risk coming. So whether it's geopolitical tensions or energy disruptions, inflation or rising government debt, the real threats to our retirement plans often come from the one advisors don't see. So wouldn't it be smart to get a second opinion? You can with Bulwark Capital's free Know Your Risk Portfolio Review. Zach Abraham, the chief investment officer there, is a dear friend of mine. I speak with him regularly. He handles my money, my wife and I's, and he manages based upon risk management. They're always looking for ways to reduce our risk, always looking for ways to increase our upside, and always doing this in a way that, again, all about risk. If you're 5 or 10 or 15 years from retirement, you can't afford a risky portfolio. So sign up for Zach's free, no obligation portfolio review. Just go to knowyourriskpodcast.com. KNOW, knowyourriskpodcast.com, or there's a link here in the show notes, knowyourriskpodcast.com. Investment advisory services offered through Trek Financial LLC and SEC registered investment advisor. Investments involve risk and are not guaranteed. Past performance isn't guaranteed future results. Trek 26-112.
Welcome back. Alex McFarland here. Very honored. Today, tomorrow, and Friday, I'm sitting in for Todd Herman on The Todd Herman Show, and news and events of the world from a biblical worldview perspective. By the way, my website is alexmcfarland.com, and I'm in the middle of a couple of things. One, our summer youth camps that we've had. We've got several others. Please be in prayer. We've got hundreds and hundreds of teenagers. As we have done for 28 years, we do summer camp, and we do all the fun camp stuff, and we hike and go swimming and things like that, but we get into the Word of God, and we've already had many, many teens in four different states come to faith in Christ this summer, and we've got more camps coming, so please keep us in prayer. I'm also in the middle of rolling out a two-year tour that we call Revive US. We've had a couple of Revive US events, and you can see my full schedule at alexmcfarland.com if you're interested in doing an event in your city. We've got an event preparation manual that we've spent almost 30 years perfecting how we can help you organize in your city prayer groups. And churches of all denominations partnering together to bring the gospel and revival and awakening to your city. So please check out alexmcfarland.com. And if God leads you, send us an email, give us a call. Well, somebody else God is using in a great way, Darren Kinder, his book, Bury Me in a Dirty Suit. First of all, Darren, thank you for being with us today, but even more importantly, thank you for what you're doing for God and country. You know, you and I were talking about the people of this great nation, and I will just tell you, I love America. I am passionately patriotic. I've traveled the world. Listen, America is the greatest place in the world to live. I think God has blessed this nation. Darren, talk about, if you would, civilian versus citizen. Is there a difference in your opinion?
Yes, yes, for sure. Yeah, Alex, I'm a unapologetic patriot myself, and I served 25 years in the Secret Service, and in my book I like to make the distinction between a civilian and a citizen, and I was having a conversation with a friend, and I was using those terms interchangeably, I guess, and he was a former Navy SEAL, and he said, you know, a citizen and a civilian are not the same thing. And I said, well, please tell me more. And we had this great conversation, and he allowed me to put the gist of it in his book. And, you know, let's start with a civilian. Unfortunately, most people walk around as kind of blind civilians. A civilian is obsessed with self, is self-centered, is fairly selfish. They're consumed with taking. They don't really make deposits along the way. They're obsessed with safe. And we've actually changed the word over time of safe to comfort. They're obsessed with their own comfort. Therefore, they will do anything they can to ensure that they're living a comfortable, blind existence. Whereas a citizen is different. You know, a citizen is someone who builds, who's invests. A citizen focuses on two things: building a healthy family. You and I would say a God-centered family. Mm-hmm. They also look out into the community, and they want to engage in their community to build and to invest their time, their skills, their talents and abilities, their resources. And, you know, they take out withdrawals from that account because they've made deposits along the way. And that's what a citizen, Teddy Roosevelt once famously wrote, that a citizen has the will to work and the willingness to fight a righteous fight. Mm. And I think that is more appropriate than ever for our time that we're in right now. And so I just, you know, part of what I try to do is call people away from the civilian life and start being a citizen again, having pride in your nation and then making your nation better, better than it was in a previous generation. And so there's nothing to be ashamed of about that. And so I do that. But of course, I also, when I'm in faith-based settings, speaking to large groups, I say, hey, ultimately, we are citizens of heaven above all of that. We are citizens of heaven. So on top of that is even a higher calling to live out God's will for each one of us for his glory.
Indeed. You know, there's a famous poem. I remember I read it when I was a kid. Sir Walter Scott wrote this patriotic poem, and there's this line in it, and it says, "Breathes there a man with a soul so dead, he has never within himself said, this is my own, my native land." And I've pondered on that since I was a kid. And as I grew up and, you know, became a Christian, then as I began to travel, and I really, not only did I appreciate America, but I began to understand the spiritual battle in this nation. You know, I thank God that God did stir within my soul a passionate love for my native land, the USA. All of that to ask you this, the apathy, even disdain that some people seem to have for America, how concerned are you about that? That there are people, they're not just, they lack patriotism, but they just almost, you know, despise America. How concerning is that to you, Darren?
Well, Alex, it's extremely concerning to me. You know, I'm a father of four sons. My oldest is 20, and my youngest is 13. And so the waters that they're swimming in, part of the air that they breathe, is living in this toxic soup of this mindset that America is the root source of all the problems in the world, which is just absolutely absurd. I mean, if you look objectively at the history of this nation, the amount of good that we've done, contributed to our society and to the world, far outweighs the bad. And I think, you know, any mature person can hold on to two truths at one time. One is that this is the greatest country that has ever existed, and it's done tremendous good. And number two, it's also a flawed nation with a past that has blemishes on it. I mean, any rational mature person should be able to hold on to those. Both of those truths. I am concerned when you look at the recent polling, some of the recent polling, which is, you know, being very proud or extremely proud to be in America, to be an American, in some of these younger generations, in some of these pollings, I should say. I mean, it's in the 20s, Alex. And I don't think that's an accident. I think that's by design. I think that's crept into our elevating mistakes and marks on our past over all of the great accomplishments. I think over time that has taken its toll. And so what I'm excited about is during Soul America 250, the World Cup being here in the States, I think there's been a resurgence and there's been people like you and I that are loudly and proudly declaring how much we love this nation. Like, I don't know about you, I was vacationing, I was in Colorado on the 4th of July last week, and I was in a small mountain town, and I was just so encouraged that this little parade that this small mountain town threw, but there was just tons and tons of people there, young families, red, white, and blue, and it just reminded me that if we're too online, if we're reading the headlines too much, we can slip into this overly negative mindset that everyone hates this country. And so that was a cool reminder for me that that's not the case, that most Americans still are proud of their nation. But the younger generation is something that we do need to address, because that is very concerning for me.
Yeah, for real. I had the great, great privilege. I was in Texas at a livestock arena speaking for a patriotic rally on Saturday night, July 4th. And I got to ask you, Darren, did you watch the president's speech Saturday night on July 4th?
I haven't seen it. Where we were in Colorado, when up at the house, we had no cell signal, no TV, no satellite, anything. We were off grid, and it was amazing. So that is on my list of things to do. I have not watched it yet. I'm going to watch it this week.
You know, it was amazing, because he had on display the greatest display of historic American flags, the 13-star flag sewn by Betsy Ross, the flag that was flown at these two battles, the battles of Saratoga, where and those battles were decisive in the American Revolution, and France decided to get behind the colonists, and then the flag that draped Abraham Lincoln's casket. And he had, and these were not pictures, these were like the actual flags on stage. And then, like, the great-great-grandchildren of Davy Crockett came out to display some flags, and a 101-year-old World War II vet, a 104-year-old veteran. And one thing I've got to say is that Yeah, I am proud, like you, Darren, I am proud to be an American. By the way, thank you for serving our country as you did for 25 years in the Secret Service. But I want to call on people to read Darren's book and to be patriotic and to influence others toward patriotism. Because look, I mean, this is our home. Nobody's saying America's perfect. I think, you know, it's almost like history has become like this. You know, America did 9 out of 10 things right, and maybe one or two things not so great. And people just obsess about the one or two things, and they overlook the 90% that's been wonderful and right and true. But we need to influence our neighbors to be patriotic and to care about the country, don't we?
We certainly do. And one thing I think you've probably experienced similar. In my career, I had the opportunity. I traveled to 44 different countries over my career. And so when you go overseas and you see the conditions that most of the world lives in, and you see real authoritarian governments up close, and you see the working conditions that people are exposed to, I mean, when you see the rest of the world, you come back with so much, a much greater appreciation. And if people can just do that, and Christians can do that, and especially in the mission field, I mean, just go. If you haven't gone yet, I mean, that's one of that is the Great Commission. Go make disciples of all nations. And
amen.
Just go out onto the foreign mission field and witness it for, and you'll get the joy and the fulfillment that comes with doing that, of course. But you'll also come back, and one of the side effects of that will be a greater appreciation for what you have been given. And then once you're back, you're like, wow, okay, this is a great place. What can I do as a citizen to make this place great or to improve it? And that could be in my church, my community, the school board, whatever it may be. You'll want to get involved more.
Indeed, indeed. And you know, I mean, I've traveled a lot in missions and ministry. And I mean, everywhere I go, especially to, you know, developing nations, third world countries, people want to get to America. You know, nobody is saying, wow, I've got to get to Cuba. Boy, that's where I want to live. You know, everybody wants to come to America. We're very blessed. I got to ask you this. As we get to the 25th year since 9/11, what would you ask pastors to do? Pastors, churches, maybe youth leaders, how should we acknowledge this and message to our parishioners about what happened on 9/11?
That's a great question. And I would say this. Look, it's going to be top of mind for so many people. It is a national event that still binds our nation together. You know, you and I and everyone who's of age can remember exactly where they were and what they were doing on 9/11. So I would take that opportunity to, number one, honor the first responder community that still answers the call every day, like the 422 that died on 9/11 in New York City. I would take the opportunity as a pastor, as a leader, to honor them, the guardians of our society. I would take the opportunity to honor the warriors of our society, our military members who went downrange in all kinds of places around the world to make sure that we would never get hit again. And you can argue this and that, but we have never been hit again at that magnitude since September 11, 2001. So I would take the opportunity to honor both of those groups. And then I would just, as a shepherd, if I was leading a flock, I would say, look, we alluded to it earlier, evil still exists. And it reminds me of a quote from George Orwell that people sleep peacefully at nights because rough men stand ready to do violence on their behalf. And that's true because evil exists, and evil doesn't stop when you ask nicely. And that evil exists, and that our role as Christians is to bring the light of Christ into all the dark places. You know, whether that's into the different communities that are lost, or into the Muslim communities, or in our own communities, or overseas, whatever that may be, our call is to go and make disciples of all nations, and that's called bringing the light of Christ into the dark places. So I would use this anniversary as an opportunity to really preach that message hard.
Well said, well said. And you know, Islam and Christianity are not the same, folks. And, you know, like Jesus, we love everybody and we want everybody to come to the knowledge of Jesus. But Muslims and Christians do not worship the same God. Hey, we're almost out of time. Darren, before we leave, give your website, please.
Sure. It's DarrenKinder.com or fierce-faith.com. That's my ministry, fierce-faith.com.
Folks, thanks for listening. Remember Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And righteousness has lifted up our nation, sustained our nation. We must have a revival, so let's turn to Christ, who is our righteousness. I'll see you again tomorrow on The Todd Herman Show, and also today at 3 p.m. Central on Exploring the Word. God bless you, and may God bless America.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.